Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. Today we're joined by Nikki van der Ploeg, Head of Business Development at Get Into More. In this discussion, we look at how the groups, meetings and event space is improving and what trends are Get Into More seeing. We then explore, as this business starts to improve, how do you decide whether to sell or not sell, i.e. how do you prioritise those sales inquiries? Nikki outlines what criteria should be considered when evaluating these inquiries and what factors make a good inquiry, and also illustrates these aspects with Max, Get Into More's new solution. Really hope you enjoy the discussion. Let's get started.
Hey, Nikki, how are you? Good to see you again. You all well?
Hello, Trevor. I'm doing really good. We're having a bit of an Indian summer here in Antwerp.
So I can see. Looking very bright and sunny.
It is. It's also very welcome because we didn't really have an actual summer.
Well, you guys were hit quite heavily, weren't you? I mean, not necessarily specifically, but Belgium suffered with some of the floods and all of this kind of thing, wasn't it?
It was real bizarre. It was not the usual bad weather that you're maybe also quite familiar with in the UK, but it was very extreme.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm glad you've got some sun and good to connect. And we got a really, well, hopefully interesting for those people who are listening or watching. But there's obviously been a shift as we start to come out. And so we're looking at the topic of to sell or not to sell, which I think it's actually quite nice to even be able to ask that question. Should we be selling or should we not be selling? So let's maybe kick this off by, if you can, again, we may be getting new people coming to us and viewing us for the first time. So if you could just give us a bit of an overview as to who you are and Get Into More and where you sit, and then that will put this conversation in context.
Of course, I'm happy to. So my name is Nikki van den Broek and I'm heading business development at Get Into More. At Get Into More, we are completely focused on the meetings and events part of business. So what we do is we create solutions to help revenue managers, commercial leaders, sales managers take good decisions and be very strategic about the meetings and events revenue stream. Until 1 week ago, we had one solution that was also called Get Into More, a business intelligence tool. But since last week, we've added a second solution called Max. It's the first of its kind. It's a fully automated AI-powered RMS for meetings and events.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that was very exciting to be launching a new solution last week.
Absolutely, absolutely. Brilliant. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. So to sell or not to sell? Well, a year ago, that wasn't even a question. So maybe you can give us a little bit of an insight as to what you have seen changing over the last few months and why that question, and we'll get on to how we start to break that down, but you know, what is moving, what is shifting in the market, and why we even need to be considering that question. So where are you seeing the demand coming from? What's the kind of state of play at the moment?
Well, happy to answer that question, and very understandable that you asked that question as well. Now, we are seeing very positive signs. So most of our customers in the hotels that we're working with, they're not complaining that they are busy, but they are really, really, really busy. Okay. And that's, of course, for two reasons, I'd say. First one being that they are receiving lots and lots and lots of requests and inquiries for meetings, events, and well, any sort of professional or private gathering, really. Quite often, super last minute as well. Right. So the lead times have become very short or very far ahead.
So it's like one or the other. There's no middle ground.
There is no in between. But a lot of inquiries also for Q1 and Q2 already in next year, 2022.
Oh, wow.
On the other hand, of course, meetings and event sales teams, they are still much smaller than before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So it's really all hands on deck to keep up right now with the flow of inquiries that's hitting the hotels.
Okay, so you've got more inquiries coming in, but less people to deal with that.
Yeah, so that's quite challenging.
Yeah, that is challenging. And where's that? Sorry, go on. No, go on, carry on. Sorry.
Yeah, I'd say volumes are pretty high. But one thing that's still very different from before is that the business is still very, very, very local.
Right. I was going to ask if that was starting to change at all, but it's still the same, yeah?
I'd say drivable distances. Right. So in Belgium, you could see inquiries coming in from Germany, from the Netherlands, or neighboring countries. But okay. People are still not super confident confident about taking planes and doing like cross-Atlantic, business travel. Still very dependent also on the local regulations. I think if I would want to come to the UK, I'd have to quarantine as well for a little bit, or maybe not anymore.
I can't remember what color you are. I mean, it's all going to change in a couple of weeks anyhow. Yeah. So you should, if you're vaccinated, you should be okay coming in. I think. But it's interesting what you say about local, because I think sometimes when people talk about local, they think almost within their town or, you know, close vicinity. But as you're saying, this is, with Europe, you're talking across border here, yeah?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So okay. That I completely agree with.
Okay. And what kind of business are you seeing it changing in terms of the type of group business that's being booked and events that are being booked?
Yeah, I say, well, moving forward, many of the events that we see, there's quite some pent-up demand for celebrations.
Okay.
People that had to postpone a wedding, mm-hmm. A 50th anniversary and stuff like that. Well, hotels are very suited venues to host that type of events, of course. But then also meetings where that in-person factor is very valuable. I think what we've seen is that in the pandemic, some of the meetings you can perfectly do online, but then others, they really need to be in person to be valuable. Mm-hmm. So more quality in meetings than quantity, and teams gathering, for instance, that have been working remotely and seek a hotel to have some community space, strategic meetings and so on. So like the boardroom type of events are very popular right now.
Okay. I think you mentioned there the team side. I guess that's an interesting avenue that's come out with people not being together. That as we start to get back together, that need to rebuild that team atmosphere. So maybe not the classic team building meetings that we always used to have, but just way of getting people together, departments together again. Yeah.
But even one of our hotels or the hotels that work with us, what they have done is they have made three of their meeting rooms team building meeting rooms.
Oh, so they've actually changed the whole layout. Right. Okay.
Yeah. They worked with a local partner that's very specialized in team buildings. And I've seen like violins lying around. Don't know if that's going to be good for the team atmosphere.
It wouldn't be if anyone's heard my playing.
exactly. But again, out of the box ideas, and I've heard from them that this concept with the team buildings, it's really popular.
No, that makes sense. And I think you make a good point when you spoke about delayed, because you've got the current demand. So you'll have all the, you know, the celebrations, whatever that may be. You've got the team building, you've got the boardroom meetings, as you spoke about there, that as we start to move out. But we've had a year, 18 months, where people have either not been able to get together or had events booked that they've now had to delay. So you've almost got a double layer, haven't you? And I mean,
exactly.
And I guess that comes back to your point about the increase in the demand that they're starting to see.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to talk about the topic of to sell or not to sell today, because you're absolutely right. It is one, the pent-up demand, and then also just your regular demand that's mm-hmm. coming back, the more business as usual type of events. And of course, like, it's very understandable that coming back from a very long period with little to no demand, you're a bit cautious about proactively refusing business.
Right.
Like, however, with restrictions being lifted, borders opening up, we are expecting high volumes of demand coming back, mm-hmm. Meetings returning, and meaning also that meetings and events could play a very important role in your strategy for recovery as a hotelier.
No, that makes sense. And how are you seeing the hotels respond? Because as you say, they've got less staff, also that the staff haven't, you know, been in the roles where they've had to be maybe more proactive, typically because demand was high, they were maybe being fairly, mm-hmm. fairly reactive. So they've had to go through a change of being proactive of going out and trying to find business and reestablish those contacts, but now they're also having to be reactive to the demand that's coming in and weighing up. How are hotels responding at the moment?
Well, what we are hearing is that it is very difficult, especially since, well, everything that you've known from before, all your historic knowledge about when to say to sell or not to sell, it's sort of out of the window. Mm-hmm. So there's no historic data where you can use to use your decision. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, now is the time that you want to do it. And for us, that was exactly the reason why we decided to launch our new solution right now to help these teams take the decision to sell or not to sell without having to, well, spit out the data and do all of the investigation. Because, of course, well, time is of the essence. The inquiries, they keep coming in. And we all know that, well, the first person often to send out an offer to a customer is very likely to also get the business.
Yeah.
So that we don't want to slow teams down by saying, oh, you have to be strategic or tactical about making these decisions. It should be like integrated in the workflow and as easy as crossing the street, so to speak.
And we've used the phrase to sell or not to sell. And again, I'm sure many people listening or watching this understand what we mean, but possibly to some people, it's like, well, what do you want about? why am I even having to make that decision? Surely, you know, if someone makes an inquiry and the price is okay, I just say yes and book them in. Is there, okay, simply, why do we have to make a decision? Do we sell or do we not sell? And just after the last year, why aren't we just taking the business that's coming through the door?
Well, understandable question. And I'd say meetings and events, revenue management or commercial management, it's very different from selling hotel rooms because you have larger revenues attached to one inquiry. And also you have less chances to get it right. If I don't sell a certain hotel room today, well, the chance is very big that I can sell it tomorrow.
Sure.
Meetings and events, well, you'll see less inquiries coming in than just selling hotel rooms. The business moves a bit slower.
Makes sense.
So what happens is, for instance, you have 10 meeting rooms. Let's talk about a hotel with 200 hotel rooms and 10 meeting rooms. Mm-hmm. And they make an inquiry for next year, February. They want to do a meeting for, well, two meeting rooms, half a day, and it's going to be on a Wednesday, for instance. Well, you could say, okay, that's nice. We have the space, it's open, so we can welcome these people. On the other hand, you have 8 more meeting rooms to sell. You could also host, maybe later down the line, you will get an inquiry for a very profitable conference. Mm-hmm. But that conference, however, will take up all of your meeting space. So that will be all 10 meeting rooms. Well, unfortunately, then you'll have to refuse that inquiry at that specific time in before event date.
Understood.
And that means, well, that you might have just lost 50,000 euro, 50,000 pounds, because you've accepted a very small inquiry instead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so important to be very strategic about what to accept at what point in time. So to have a good impact on total revenue.
No, that makes sense. And so, you know, if you're sitting there, so if I'm there and I'm trying to be proactive and find business, I've also got inquiries coming in. What are some of the criteria that I possibly should be evaluating, to just kind of give me an indication as some factors that maybe help me to prioritize maybe one inquiry over another? Are there some core metrics to be looking at?
Definitely. And well, I often say that meetings and events management, it really compares a lot like playing a very high stakes game of Tetris. You want everything to fit as good as possible, and you don't want to leave any space open. So in all, it's like Tetris, but of course advanced mode, so to speak. And so step one would be evaluating, how does this inquiry that's right in front of me fit in with what I already have blocked?
Okay.
And if you see that it's a very nice fit, well, then you might already think this is a good one to accept. So
back to your point, if you had 10 rooms, you've maybe got 8 booked out, you may have an inquiry that wants 2 rooms. That fills that Tetris block, for instance.
Yeah, okay. Go for it.
Okay.
So that would be step one. And mm-hmm. then the second step to evaluate is, well, what is the profitability of this inquiry? Something that I found super surprising when seeing the AI, or when seeing Max doing its work, even in the first beta versions and so on, is the huge differences you have in revenue per square meter for inquiries.
Really?
We've tested this with Pilot Hotel, and then we could see for the same day you received inquiries for the same meeting room, the one would have a profitability or a revenue per square meter of €3 per available square meter, and the other one was 61.
Between 3 and 61. Yeah. Why that huge differential in that example?
In that example, it had to do with delegate density.
Okay.
So that one group was just a much better fit for the larger room that they had compared to the other group. It was a small group, but unfortunately, all other meeting rooms, they were already blocked. Right. So they had to put them in a larger room. And at €3 per available square meter, you might rethink if that is something that you would want to do.
Makes sense. That makes sense. So that was interesting. So when you're talking about delegate density, you're looking at obviously matching the event to your room size, that gets you looking at the revenue per square meter, which is a factor that you guys have spoken about and we've spoken about on previous conversations that we've had. Is there an element as well where, and maybe this is less of the case at the moment, I don't know, you can let us know, but often sometimes you have meetings, they're going on for longer than one day, so people are staying over. So I guess there's an impact on your rooms and what your availability for your rooms and that kind of factor. Is that another piece that comes into the equation?
Absolutely. Something that we also consider and something that Max also looks at is current meeting room occupancy or function space occupancy versus current hotel room occupancy.
Okay.
If you see that you are still very, you still have a lot of hotel rooms available and you see something coming in with just a meeting only, maybe you want to wait for a group that takes both hotel rooms and meeting rooms, or vice versa, of course. It's a balancing act.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And then what about in terms of, so if I'm, let's say I'm sitting there and I've got a number of inquiries.
Yeah.
And they seem on the surface to fit with the availability that we have, but I've still got to try and prioritize my time. What other factors should I be considering to start to filter down and prioritize those leads that I've got, for instance?
Well, what I would do next then to prioritize leads is really go to account level and give your different inquiries or bookings a lead score or a rank.
Okay. So, and what factors would I bring into that then to get a lead score?
Two things. First, your likelihood to convert. So what's the likelihood that if we send out an offer, we're actually going to get this business? Because, of course, you might be competing with some other hotels around you.
Yeah.
Secondly, potential future value. Sometimes you'll see accounts that you recognize. These are the usual suspects that often book with you, or they might be from an industry where you see a lot of potential for future business. Then I would also recommend to prioritize these inquiries.
Understood. Okay. All right. That makes sense. So it's the... So if there's an inquiry, I'm looking first and foremost in terms of how it fits with my availability.
Step one, yes.
Then I'm looking at, okay, if it does fit, but I've maybe got three or four inquiries that could, using your Tetris analogy, fit into that space, then I'm starting to look at the account and potential value and likelihood of converting. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. So I guess then naturally I'm gonna, probably follow up, make more inquiries, gather more information, make a decision and just say, okay, fine, I'll take that particular booking. There's enough metrics to kind of help me to go after that. Are there any other factors that I should still be considering?
There's one more, and that's quite difficult to calculate yourself, but that's expected future demand.
Oh, right. So gazing into the crystal ball.
It's gazing into the crystal ball. And that's, of course, where AI comes in quite handy.
Okay.
Because they can cluster all sort of data, data from sales and catering, PMS systems, markets, statistics, and so on. Mm-hmm. But of course, when making the decision to sell or not to sell, what you actually want to know is, what is the chance that I get something that's at least as good as what I have in front of me, or better? And that's where your expected demand comes in. So I'd say four steps.
Yeah.
First one being, what's the fit with my current inventory? What is the profitability of the inquiry I have here in front of me? What is my likelihood to convert? Is there something in there for future? And then what's my expected future demand? And putting those four together, then you have all of the pillars needed to make your to sell or not to sell decision.
I would get you. And then that gives me a chance of, as you say, of sort of prioritizing. And again, you know, this is not, you got to go out as the salesperson, clarify, quantify.
Yes.
And then obviously try and get the business. But this is looking at it in terms of saying, okay, if I've got inquiries coming into me and I'm making my own proactive effort, and I've got less resources available to me as a hotel, then you've got to be as efficient and as effective as you can be to chasing down those leads to ensure that when you're converting them, you're converting those that will bring in the greatest revenue and ideally profitability as well. Okay.
Absolutely. And also, it might sound a bit daunting to having to do this for every inquiry that comes along. Mm-hmm. So what I would say is to really focus on months or periods where you just really see demand picking up.
Okay.
Focus there and then maybe move on to other months as well as you go. But naturally, while you see, you'll always see that certain months appear to be more in demand than others. And I really focus on those months because, of course, that's where you're going to make the difference for the hotel.
No, that makes sense. And as you say, I mean, you've just recently released a product now. I mean, actually, bizarrely enough, we connected to have this conversation at a time when we realized. So to anyone out there that's thinking, oh, yeah, OK, this is a promo for a product. Yes, there is a bit of a promo for the product, but it actually was quite coincidental, because as we saw demand coming up, we thought about doing this topic. But let's, while we have a few moments, and we actually want to pick up with you in a separate video, in the future, to look at Max in more detail. But as you've referred to it a couple of times and talk about it, could you just give us a bit of an insight, a bit of a tempter as to what Max is all about?
Yeah, well, I'd love to, but would you also like me to show a little bit of it?
We may be able to do a bit of show and tell. Let's see what we can do. Let me see if we. You should have a go with something there. Go on then.
Running. So, very high level, how it works is that if you receive a new inquiry, we'll automatically see it in Max. Of course, no need to do double work. It will appear here with a status inquiry. You will see, of course, a booking description, the date that the inquiry has reached your hotel, a status, arrival and departure date. And then here is where it becomes very interesting for me, I'd say. We calculate the meetings and events revenue. If there's some of that additional revenue, maybe for hotel rooms, then it will be added here. So you have your total revenue as well.
Gotcha.
And then Max starts thinking and calculating. So step one, what we also discussed is that very important KPI of revenue per available square meter.
Yep.
And as you see here, for instance, this one's coming in at 2.33. And then here we have one of 87 euro per available square meter.
Gotcha. So
I think after some time, it would also be very interesting to see for your specific hotel venue, what is my average revenue per available square meter? Maybe you'd even consider start benchmarking this information as well.
Yep.
As it's probably also much more telling than, for instance, looking at occupancy.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's more nuance, I would say, to the revenue per available square meter. Then here we have a rank, well, very hotel themed, but we work with stars. So you could have a one or five, a 1 to 5 star inquiry. One star, well, that means that your likelihood of converting is very low, or we also don't see any future value. So this one's okay. Really focused on the account level.
That's what I was going to say. So, so the first bits around the revenue and the per meter squared was one of those, the first fact you mentioned. The ranking, yes, then leads into the account level, likelihood of converting, profitability, value, those kind of elements that you touched on, yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then next on, of course, that expected future demand, the crystal ball, so to speak. It's very difficult to come up with this or calculate yourself. Mm-hmm. But Max really has no issue doing it. So as you see here, the final column, that's our to sell or not to sell column. We've worked with a super user-friendly traffic lights principle. So if you have a green light, that means go.
Yep.
So we'll send out an offer as quickly as possible. We think it's a good piece of business. If you get a red light, well, then your likelihood of receiving something better is very high. So wait on and please do not sell, because you're going to miss out on some good opportunities in the future.
I've got you. So then if I'm looking here at this one, which is sort of €5.63 per square meter. Yeah.
Yes.
But then it's ranking quite highly in terms of probability and value, but the demand is high from what you can see in the future demand. And so it's kind of an amber, even though you've got 4 stars, but it is a fairly low revenue per square meter. Yeah.
So this is where we see, or where we say it needs the human touch.
Yeah.
To really figure out, like, is this a piece of business where we see future, because as you see, profitability is not too high. Mm-hmm. It is ranking well, but we're also expecting more of this type of inquiries. So here you can decide also based on how risk averse your strategy is. If you want to be more risky, then you might deny it. And if you want to be more conservative or of your revenue, then you might accept it.
And I guess, again, back to this ranking piece, which looks at the account. If that's a good account, that you may have a strong enough relationship to see if you can maybe push up the value because you want them to have the business.
Absolutely.
Or it may well be that, you know, you say, well, they're an account, they're a regular, we will take the business, even though there is a high demand, because there are other factors into play. So that's where you say, that's where the value of the sales team comes in, and their knowledge of the accounts, isn't it?
Yeah. Of course, and you might even consider asking them if the dates are flexible, if you can move them around to a period that's a bit less high in demand, where they would be a great fit.
Yeah.
One extra thing that I would like to show you is that if you click open, mm-hmm, we'll give some additional information. So we have a look at your forecasts and what you currently already have on the books. Mm-hmm. And then you could also see, are we still far ahead from forecast, or are we already really close? And again, see if you want to be more aggressive or less aggressive with your strategy.
Gotcha.
We have a look at your demand base. Are you pacing ahead or behind compared to a period before? And then here, of course, your bedroom occupancy and function space occupancy. Would there already be any function space sold? So that's right. Also something that you could have a look at if you really want to go a bit more in
depth. Detail. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yeah, that's very.
So very, in a nutshell, that's what we came up with.
That was really useful to see, actually. Mm-hmm. And I think what made you, I mean, how come you guys developed that? I know it's an obvious, mm-hmm, I know it's maybe an obvious, but what was the prompting behind it?
Well, of course, we had many development ideas. We always have ideas about what to develop first and which features to prioritize and so on. Mm-hmm. And we decided to just go for this new solution, Max, first, mm-hmm, because we heard the voices from the industry that were saying, like, we do believe in meetings and events, and we do expect a wall of demands. Especially, well, start 2022, we want to use that meetings and events revenue stream to help us recover from the pandemic. On the other hand, we don't have the historic knowledge of what to expect, so it's very difficult to make that call. We are understaffed, so we don't have the time to do all of the thinking ourselves. So can you support us in a way? And that's how we decided to really go for Max now and to unleash this to the industry.
No, it makes sense. And I guess it's also following on from, you know, what's been going a lot with future, you know, forward-looking data as applies to, you know, hotel revenue management for the room side. And, you know, you've got the revenue team that the historic data obviously hasn't been there to the same degree. And I think also just taking it up a level where it becomes less, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, I think I refer back, we've just released a video today, which talks about the conflict between RM and director of sales around group business, where you've
got an interesting one.
Yeah, because where you may have, say, the priorities of the sales, where they're incentivized to sell, can be in conflict and create tension with the revenue management team around the pricing and the profitability. So in a way, what you're doing with Max is you're starting to build a number of analytical parameters and data parameters that enables the sales people in the meetings and event space to start to look at this in a slightly more analytical way, but then overlay their knowledge of the account. But rather than it just being, yes, I'll sell that business because it's my account, I've been with them for years.
Absolutely.
And rather than having that conversation, yeah, but hold on, we can see that there's demand is high for that reason. We got to have a different conversation. Back to your example, you know, could they move the date so we can, as a hotel, we could maximize the greater demand that we're seeing, but you can still manage that relationship with your account, or we've got to have a conversation with them to pay a little bit more. Is that, yeah?
I completely agree. And also, if you look at the user we have in mind for Max, that's definitely your meetings and event salesperson that is making these tactical decisions day in, day out. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you look at Getting to More, our business intelligence project, that's really focused on revenue managers to build in those strategies also for meetings and events. And in the end, everyone working together, both revenue managers and meetings and event sales, on this beautiful revenue stream, can only result in a very good impact on total revenue.
No, that makes perfect sense. And as you say, I mean, you know, just in terms of summing this up, really, I guess, you know, it's fortunate that we're in a position to even be having that conversation.
Finally.
Shall we sell or not sell? I think the point that you made at the very beginning, which was, it's not just, yes, it is about the revenue and about trying to maximize revenue, but it's also looking at the profitability, and it's also looking at how you're using your resources, your limited resources, to make sure that, you know, your sales team are focusing themselves on hopefully the leads that are going to generate the greatest revenue with the greatest profitability and the greatest chance of converting, rather than it just be, okay, let's just grab as much revenue, because there would be a tendency after the difficult period that we've had just to take every inquiry that's coming in. Mm-hmm. But then you kick yourself when you actually look at it and think, okay, that maybe wasn't the best bit of business to take.
Yeah, and well, it is a corny tagline, but it's all about working smarter and not harder.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Any other final points on that? I think seeing the demand recover, then looking at the factors and helping to evaluate the decisions make perfect sense. Looking at Max, thank you for sharing what you guys have worked on and recently launched. And I can see why you're excited about it. Are there any other elements around the sell or not to sell that we haven't touched on, or have we covered everything you wanted to mention?
We covered it all.
Brilliant. Like,
in a way, it's a simple four-step procedure to take.
Yeah.
And it's very easy, of course, if you have the data to take that decision. And you can do it in an empowered way.
Absolutely. Well, look, brilliant. always a pleasure to talk with you. Great, as I say, that we are talking about business moving forward, demand picking up, and looking forward to see how Max gets on in the future as well. And we'll make sure that we reconnect and have a slightly deeper dive into Max in the future. So thanks so much.
Looking forward to that. Thank you so much, Trevor.
Brilliant. You take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Nikki for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. We value your input and we're happy to follow up with our guests. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. That's insights at revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you would consider subscribing. It really helps out the channel, which helps us to help others. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.